I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha! Yes! We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. And, of course, that's what we're doing right here, right now, as I record this. We are broadcasting across the interwebs and into your abode. Whether that abode may be your home, a cardboard box out back, I don't know. But anyway, I have, of course, my virtual water with me. A smaller bottle this time. Yes. I know a lot of you wonder, why do you do that, Dr. Bill? Because my throat gets all dry. And this keeps it lubricated and keeps my dulcet tones of my official radio voice sounding really good. Yes, well, anyway, this week was the Computer Electronics Show. From Las Vegas, which is in Nevada, which is out in the desert. Anyway, so Tech Podcast Network covered it for us, and we had live coverage right here on the DrBill.tv site. Dude. So, I trust you enjoyed tuning in and watching that all this week, and if you didn't, well, what's up with that? You should have. Anyway, the link has been taken down now because CES is over. It ended yesterday as I record this. Which, by the way, today is a Saturday. Just in case you're wondering as I record this. You know what day it is where you are. If you don't, never mind. Anyway, Vimeo has introduced a new faster video player. Yes. Now, as you know, we do have our Netcast on Vimeo. We have a Vimeo channel there. And of course, the player is used there. It has lightning fast playback, redesigned sharing screen, closed captioning with subtitles. It has HTML5 by default, which is good. It means it works on all the tablet-y things out there and so forth. And it has a purchase from player functionality, which of course we don't use, but others do. More responsive than ever. Time for more water. Yes, it doesn't help with the mispronunciation of words, but I like to think it does. Anyway, CentOS Linux. Next item here. CentOS is, of course, my very, very, very favoritist version of server Linux that's free and open source. By that I mean totally, totally free and open source. Red Hat, of course, is, I mean, really what CentOS is Red Hat Linux, okay? Red Hat Enterprise Linux. All that CentOS has done is they take the logos and everything and all references to Red Hat out of the code. And other than that, it is exactly binary compatible in every way because it really is the same code as Red Hat. It's just repackaged, you know. So anyway, I've been using it for years. It's awesome. But it has crossed the threshold, so to speak, from a totally community-only version to now being actually fully sponsored by Red Hat. Now, that's pretty cool. So, here's what Stephen J. Von Nichols, our good old buddy, says. If you use Linux to host your web servers and run your internet edge servers, chances are you're using CentOS. I certainly am. The Red Hat Enterprise Linux Clone has long been popular with hosting companies, data centers, and businesses that have in-house Linux expertise and so don't need to pay Red Hat's RHEL support. Now, being a Linux dude from way back, as a matter of fact, I'm one of the first 100 customers of Red Hat. I like that. Bragging rights, yes! Anyway, I go way back with Linux. I remember the actual first email that Linus sent out saying he was going to develop Linux. So I go that far back. Anyway, so I mean, I know it. So I don't technically need Red Hat support. Now, I have used Red Hat support before, both where I'm working now, because I support Red Hat at the hospital where I work, and also when I had an online business, the Low Carb Nexus. We had a shopping cart and so forth. All of that was online. The website, of course, was online. All of that was hosted through Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and I had full support because it was my business, and of course, I wanted it fully supported. So, but everything else I do, including the show, is hosted on CentOS. All right, so Red Hat and the CentOS project announced they were joining forces to build a new CentOS capable of driving forward development and adoption of next-generation open-source technologies. No, it's not April 1st. It's really happening. That's what he says here in the article. That's pretty cool stuff. Okay, now let's start talking about what was announced at CES. Lots and lots of cool techie stuff was announced at CES. Now, one that's close to my heart is the Roku TV. Yes, you heard that right. Not the Apple TV, the Roku TV. Now, here's how it works. They demonstrated it at CES. It's not quite available yet, probably 6 months or so it'll be available. But basically, the Hisense company and what's the other one? The other company that's doing it. TCL and Hisense, okay? TCL and Hisense, those two companies are the third and fifth largest TV producers, you know, manufacturers, according to Roku. And what Roku is doing is building in the Roku technology, basically like having a Roku 3 box built into the TV. Now, that's cool. Now, here's what I love about this, personally, is that that means that our Dr. Bill Bailey.net netcast channel, which is our Roku channel, is going to be part of these TVs. So as these TVs ship, our channel capability, if people choose to sign up for it, will be right there built into the TV. Dude, how cool is that? That's awesome. So this is pretty doggone cool. Okay. Next item here, Asus. I like to say Asus. It sounds cool. ASUS. Asus has a tablet / notebook already called the Transformer Robots in Disguise. Couldn't help it. Had to say it. No, they don't sell Transformers like those kind of Transformers. You know, like this guy. No. Okay. No, they have a Transformer series of tablet / notebooks. Okay. But this new one is called the Duet. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? And what's so special about the Duet? Well, here's what I wrote in my little article here. Okay, this past week, Tech Podcast Network covered CES 2014. There were a lot of cool, geeky devices that they uncovered in their awesome coverage, which we carried right here on the website. This device is one of the things that was unveiled at CES. It's the Asus Transformer Duet. Why Duet? Because this laptop, which is also a tablet, runs both Android and Windows 8X, in other words, 8 and 8.1. How cool is that? That's what I say. So you can plug the laptop into the keyboard unit, use it as a laptop, undock the screen from the keyboard unit, and use it as a tablet. While it's docked in the keyboard, you can touch a button that will toggle you between Android and Windows in less than 4 seconds. Wow. That's cool. This gives you multiple functionality, both from the software side, the operating systems, and from the physical side, the tablet or laptop. This is very cool because this puts you to a point that perhaps this one device can do it all. That is, be your desktop slash laptop and your tablet, both in the Android world and in the Windows world. Can it be this powerful and flexible? I suppose time will tell when we have one in hand to see if it works as designed. Awesome! I kind of really want one of those. Speaking of something else that I want, and probably won't get anytime soon, Toyota unveiled a hydrogen electric car at CES 2014. Dude, now, let me read you what I wrote about this. Another little personal observation here. Okay, we all really want cool electric cars. Well, we do. At least I do. And at this year's CES, Toyota announced a new hydrogen-powered electric car that looks really cool. It's a real pretty blue. You can see, well, let me put it up over here. It's really cool looking. Anyway. Plus, it will be available in 2014. Yes, that is future, but not the distant future. So that means that before too long, we'll actually be able to drive a 300-mile range electric car powered by hydrogen fuel cells that is actually practical. Of course, that means that in order to make it more practical, we have to have fuel stations to buy hydrogen that powers the fuel cell that makes the car work. Hopefully, this will happen over time. California has an initiative to spend $200 million installing hydrogen stations throughout the state, starting in Southern California and expanding from there. Whether other states will get on board with this initiative remains to be seen. I go on to say, I must say that ever since my elementary school chemistry class, or was that junior high? I'm not sure. However, whenever it was, I remember dreaming of hydrogen engines in a car based on our studies of hydrogen being the most freely available element in the universe and the fact that when it burns, it produces only water as its exhaust. In other words, hydrogen and oxygen produce H2O. That's right. Water. Good old water. Which means I'd be drinking my exhaust. That's odd, but cool. Anyway, so my young brain quickly seized on the idea that this could give us cars that were efficient and clean. Even way back then, this is back before anybody cared about, you know, green things. Yes. What can I say? I was ahead of my time. Anyway, my dream could soon become a reality. At any rate, you have to give it to Toyota for coming out with this technology. They also announced that this technology would be used soon in buses for mass transportation. Dude, very cool stuff. All right, next item. Whoa! Thank you, Fred. Fred's reminded. Fred, you know, Fred hasn't been very active in this netcast. I've just been so excited about CES. He's just been sitting there twiddling his thumbs, and he finally said, okay, time for Geek Software of the Week. Yeesh. Okay, Fred. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week is MBR Tool. Now, the MBR is your master boot record. Sounds boring, doesn't it? But it's what makes your computer boot. I like an old VeggieTales I saw one time where Alfred, it was a Larry Boy episode. Anyway, he was saying to his computer, boot, you digital tormentor, boot. If you've never seen VeggieTales, you need to go see it. Particularly Larry Boy. Larry Boy, Larry Boy. Anyway, fond memories, not of my childhood, because they're fairly recent, relatively speaking, but my son's childhood, anyway. MBR Tool, do you have partition trouble? If you have problems with partitions and the MBR record, that's actually redundant, isn't it? MBR is master boot record, so MBR, and you don't have a backup to restore, then take a look at Disk Patch. Rebuild your partition tables and the MBR from scratch, safe and simple. So this is an MBR tool for you, and it is free. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's raining big time outside. I like being nice and dry inside. Just saying. Anyway, we'll have all this rain to accompany us. So MBR tool is designed to back up, restore, and manipulate your hard disk's master boot record. You can use it to do just that. You can back up, restore, wipe, and clean track zero of your hard drive, which is, of course, where it bootays. Boots. Yes, I know. You can refresh and remove MBR boot code. You can write MBR signature files. You can display in the MBR to screen or to dump it to a file to do all this either with the original MBR or backups, and so forth and so on. It's good stuff. Now, the next item we have is from Hack 5. Darren Kitchen, who is one of the hosts of Hack 5, introduces us to the wearable reference platform called Warp. It's a YouTube video. It's actually a Hack 5 session video thing. So you can go to our website and view it right there online. And it's about Warp. Warp. W-A-R-P. Which is wearable reference platform, is basically what it stands for. But it's also a variant on the idea of the Raspberry Pi. Now, it's not a Raspberry Pi, but it's kind of like that. And that you can take this technology and use it to build wearable tech. So like headbands and wristbands and all kinds of things that you can use to build computery type geeky devices using this. And they have a website called warpboard.org, which is a nonprofit community-based organization providing service and support for the wearables reference platform. So that's cool too. I'd kind of like to get one of those to play with sometime, like I did my Raspberry Pi that I showed you sometime back. Linksys. Linksys has been purchased. Linksys was bought by Cisco, and then Cisco sold it to somebody. Who bought it? Somebody bought it. I don't really care so much. Anyway. But it's still around. Good old Linksys. You know the old blue routers? Well, now they have this new one. Which looks really cool. It's all spacey looking and has four antennae. And it says the engineers at Linksys jumped into the Wayback Machine to design the new WRT1900AC dual band Wi-Fi router. Why do they always name these things long names like that? I don't know. While the stackable enclosure sports the classic blue-black color scheme of the classic WRT54G, 802.11g router. See what I mean? You'll find all new hardware inside, including a dual-core 1.2 gigahertz ARM processor, 128 meg of flash memory, and 256 meg of DDR3 RAM. Dude! The new router looks like a beast. It weighs in a staggering 5 pounds, and it sports a feature set that owners of the WRT54G could never have imagined. Including one USB port, one eSATA USB 2.0 combo port, support for just about any hard drive format, including FAT, NTFS, HFS+, and four external removable antennas. It will have a four-port gigabit switch and a gigabit WAN port. The router will be capable of sharing both USB storage and USB printers over the network. Dude. Now, to me, that's all cool, but that's not the great part. The great part about this is it's going to be based on open source. It will ship with the operating system that is actually open source, and it will have full open source support. Now, that's cool. Now, you may say, Dr. Bill, this roundup of technology from CES is not complete. No, it's not. Because I only talked about the things that I was interested in. As usual on this show, I only talk about the things I'm interested in. If I'm not interested in it, I don't care. So, there you go. So anyway, though, I will say this. I want to thank all the folks at TPN, Tech Podcast Network, for a tremendous job of coverage this week of CES. Man, they really tirelessly, and I mean that, tirelessly reported on everything that was going on at CES. And if anybody had complete coverage, it was Tech Podcast Network, I'm telling you. They also even gave out Tech Podcast Network awards, best in show, and things like that. And that's cool, too. So kudos to Todd Cochran and all the guys and gals there at the Tech Podcast Network. It's awesome, awesome work. I have a little thank you here on the website and a picture of Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, who is interviewing a representative from Nady, microphone manufacturer. Try saying that 10 times fast. Anyway, and that's just one example of all of the moving around the CES floor and interviewing people. And then they also had their own little studio-like setup there where people came in. And, I mean, it was just wall-to-wall coverage of CES. So, kudos to them. Yes. Well, the rain keeps falling. Quite hard, actually. So, before I float away, I guess I'll mosey on out of here. Remember, until next time, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.